Hello and welcome to Semaphore Uncut. We are kicking off Technical Tips, a new series to give you bite-sized advice on software engineering best practices that will make your coding life easier and more efficient. Today, we'll answer the 30 most popular questions about CI/CD. Olga will ask the questions, and our software engineer Radoslav and product manager Alexander will answer them. Let's dive in.
Today, I have Radoslav Wozniak, who is one of the developers at Semaphore. Hi. So, Radek, in your opinion, what is version control?
Yeah, so version control is a set of practices and tools for managing code base, and developers use versions control to keep track of every line of the code, share, review, and synchronize changes among a team.
Mm-hmm. Great. And in this case, what is a Git?
Git is created by Linus Travels to support the open source development of Linux. And Git is the most popular version control tool that we use. And it uses a distributed repository model that can efficiently handle projects of any size.
Semaphore has released the Flaky Test Dashboard to help you identify unreliable tests in your project. Identify which tests disrupt your pipeline and cost you the most, all in one place. Go to semaphoreci.com/product/flaky-tests-dashboard to find out more.
What is a Git repository?
The repository serves as an index for all the files and changes in the project, allowing developers to navigate to any point in the project's history.
And which other version control tools do you probably know of?
So I personally use Buzzer and Subversion, but there are also other like BitKeeper, Perforce, Mercurial, and Fossil. But yeah, Git is most popular.
I see. What is a Git branch?
Yeah, so a Git branch is an independent line of development, usually created for working on a specific feature. And branches let developers code without affecting the work of other team members, which are work basically on other branches of the code.
How would you work together? What is merging, for instance?
So merging is a way to join those branches together. For example, when developers incorporate their peer-reviewed changes from a feature branch into the main branch.
Mm-hmm. Could you please share what is trunk-based development?
So trunk-based development is a branching model when most of the works take place in a single trunk, and mm-hmm. the trunk receives daily merges from all developers in the team. And trunk-based development is a popular development model because it simplifies version control, since the trunk is a single source of a true, and this model minimizes the changes of merge conflicts.
Mm. Radek, could you please maybe tell us what is Git flow and how it compares to trunk-based development, since we just spoke about trunk-based development?
Okay, so Git flow is a workflow for Git that makes heavy use of the branches. And in the Git flow, all the code is merged into the develop branch instead of the main branch, which serves as a enriched version of the project history. And features are worked on specific features branches. Mm-hmm. And in the same fashion, releases also create a dedicated release branches. And compared with trunk-based development, Git flow is more complex and has a higher chance of including merge conflicts, which is why it's fallen out of the favor among the development community.
Mm-hmm. How do you personally feel about that?
I'd really like to work in the trunk way because I really don't like to work on the branches that are long leaf branches where you can. Mm-hmm. Because later, when you would like to merge them, there can be other merges from other people, and you can encounter those merge conflicts, or other person can work maybe on other feature, but in the same area of the code, and you don't know about that because you are working on your code in isolation. So my favorite kind of work is to always work close to the master and to use feature flags to hide that feature on which you are working. So we are deploying code to production, but this okay. code is not used for all the customers until it's ready. And with this approach, we always work on the same code, and we don't have those merge conflicts at the end of the work.
And I think we have one more question. So how long, in your opinion, how long should a branch live?
With long living branches, you are outside of the main code. You have no idea what's happening there. And I don't think that the branch should, that there is like a specific time that the branch should live, like, I don't know, 1 hour or 1 day, but the shorter, the better.
The better. Okay, I see.
Semaphore has released the Flaky Test Dashboard to help you identify unreliable tests in your project. Identify which tests disrupt your pipeline and cost you the most, all in one place. Go to semaphoreci.com/product/flaky-tests-dashboard to find out more.
And for the next batch of questions, which are related to CI/CD, we have here with us today Alexander Dmitrovich, and he is our product manager at Semaphore. So my first question to you is, what is actually continuous integration?
That's a good question. Okay, so continuous integration, or shorthand CI, it's a software development methodology where developers following the trunk-based models merge their changes to the main branch multiple times per day. So CI is, and this part is important, is supported by automated tests and the build server that runs those tests on every change that happens on the repository. So as a result, failures are made visible as soon as they are introduced and can be fixed within minutes. That's a bit optimistic, but you can immediately detect them and go back and introduce any changes to fix any issues.
In your opinion, how do CI and version control, how do they relate to each other, these two?
Right. Well, they usually don't work without each other. So every change in the code should trigger a continuous integration process that you have configured, which means that the CI system has to be connected to a Git repository or your version control in order to detect those changes and also to ensure to run the tests on the latest revision of what you're building.
Mm-hmm. My next question to you is, so we have continuous integration, continuous delivery, mm-hmm. and continuous deployment. And in your opinion, what is the difference between these three?
Continuous integration parts, it executes a sequence of steps that you usually define and the steps that are required to build and test your project. So it runs, as mentioned, runs automatically on every code change that's committed to a repository and offers you as a developer a quick feedback about the project state. So the CI part is there to give you feedback if your code is passing all the tests and the requirements. Continuous delivery, on the other hand, is kind of an extension of that. Mm-hmm. The goal is to automate every step that's required to package and release this piece of software that you're building. So the output of continuous delivery pipeline usually takes form of a deployable binary, package, container. Mm-hmm. And then we have continuous deployment. It's an optional extension of continuous delivery. So when you have that binary, package, container, whatever, then the continuous deployment process is something that takes that output from the delivery pipeline and actually deploys it to your production servers or stage environment, QA environment, anywhere in some safe and automated ways.
And so if we do have the, like, if a company's considering whether they need CI/CD at all or automated CI/CD, what are some of the benefits of continuous integration, continuous deployment and delivery? Could you please share a bit on that?
One obvious one is less risk. If you have automated tests that cover every code change, that you reduce the chance of introducing bugs. So you have, you're creating a safety net that increases developers' confidence in their code. That's one. Another benefit is usually more frequent releases. So the automation that you have allow the developers to release and deploy software safely many times a day. So that results in more frequent releases. Improved productivity is another thing. So since you're removing that manual component of building and testing the code, the developers can focus instead on the creative aspects of coding. You have CI part, and it acts as quality gates, prevents the substandard codes from getting released because you have all those tests that you're running every time you make a change.
Right.
And it's just a better design because the iterative nature of continuous integration lets the developers work in smaller increments. And this allows a higher degree of experimentation. So you could have innovative ideas that way, and smaller increments are always better.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. What are the most important characteristics of a CD, of a CI/CD platform?
It has to be reliable. Because if you switch to this model, your team, your development team depends on the CI server and the CI/CD platform for testing and deployment. So it needs to be reliable, otherwise it will potentially block the development work. Speed is another very important characteristic. So it should be fast, because if you're waiting for the results of your CI part for too long, it's kind of troublesome. You should get those results in a few minutes tops. It should give you the ability to reproduce things. So the same code should always yield the same results. What you're testing on CI, CD platform, and what you're testing in the local environment, you want to get the same results every single time, regardless of where you're doing that. And it should be easy to use. So easy to configure, operate, easy to troubleshoot. That's four key things that I think are most important characteristics.
And what is a build stage? Could you expand on that?
Build stage is a very common step in the CI part of your whole CI/CD workflow. It's usually responsible for building the actual binary or container or executable program for the project. This stage is something that validates that the application is buildable and provides you with an artifact that you can use in later stages in the tests. So from the moment you commit the code, first thing you want to check is it still buildable? If it is, then you build that binary and use it later on to test it.
According to like the best CI/CD practices, how long should a build take?
I would recommend less than 10 minutes. Everything beyond that is not ideal. So you should get those results from your talking about the CI pipeline. So so the part that actually tests the code that you committed, you should get them less than 10 minutes because that's, in my opinion, longest time that's practical to wait for those results. You want to keep that feedback loop for your developers shorter than 10 minutes.
Understood. In CI/CD, is security important?
It's very important, especially if you have the CD part configured, the deployment part, because your CI/CD workflow and the CI/CD platform can have access to all kinds of sensitive data, API keys, private repositories, obviously, and in some cases, server passwords. So it's important for it to be properly secured, and also if you have a lot of team members, it's also pretty important for it to have a proper access control mechanisms to ensure that the right people have the access to the right stuff.
Yes. Could you please tell me what is the difference between a hosted CI/CD platform mm-hmm. and cloud-based?
Security is one important aspect. Security and compliance a lot of times, because sometimes you don't have the option to use the cloud-based CI mm-hmm. or anything cloud-based. But in that case, you would use the hosted CI server. But the hosted CI server has to be managed like any other server. So first you need to install it, you have to configure it, and most importantly, you have to maintain it later on. So any upgrades and patches have to be applied to ensure that you keep it secure and up to date. If you're not maintaining it properly and it fails, it can block development and stop deployments if you're doing the CI/CD. But on the other hand, the cloud-based CI is a lot simpler in a sense that you don't have to maintain it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to install or configure. You just use it and you can immediately start using it. Usually on cloud CI, you get all the machine power that you need. So mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about scalability. Yeah. The resource that you need, you have those resources at peak times. It can be a bit more reliable.
All right. And the last question, I guess mm-hmm. it's more of a generic one. So Alex, could you please name some of the deployment strategies that are most common?
So there's just regular release or deployment. Mm-hmm. You introduce some changes to the software and you roll them out to everyone at once, making it available to general public. You can also do canary releases, and this is a good method for AMB testing. So it also reduces the change of failure mm-hmm. by what you do is expose a small portion of the user base to the release, around 1% or something like that. So with canary release, you can gradually switch users to the latest release in controlled way. With canary, you release to a smaller number of user base, and then if all goes well, you roll it out to everyone.
Right.
Blue-green release that I think we wrote about mm-hmm. a lot is a very reliable and safe way to deploy things. So it consists of running two simultaneous instances of the application. You have the stable version that's currently serving the users. And then you have the other version of the app that has mm-hmm. this latest release, what you want to roll out, basically. So when you're ready to roll it out, you just switch the users from one instance to the instance with a newer version of the software.
Right.
This is a lot safer, because if something goes wrong, you can instantly roll back and route users back to the previous version if there is a problem with your release. And maybe as a last option that I can list is dark launches or silent rollouts. So mm-hmm. in that case, you deploy something like new feature without announcing it, or you deploy this one new feature in a very fine grained way using the feature flags as a system. Mm-hmm. It's this strategy is pretty good for the limited betas or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. Understood. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Semaphore Uncut. We hope you found this episode helpful. Let's keep learning and coding together. Don't forget to subscribe, and until next time, happy building.